follow the lights into the woods. Be careful of the stalkers in the hoods. You don't know when they're watching or whose spell they be casting. Be careful for the demons in the dark light.
Okay. On today's episode of the Dark Light Podcast.
Did you just forget our podcast?
I didn't forget our podcast name. I just forgot how our starting went. My bad. It's been a while.
It has been. And we do want to apologize for that. We knew that we had Christmas parties coming up and we were like, okay, we need to pre-record. And then I just didn't see Jen for a week and a half.
It was a stressful week without her.
It's been a week and a half.
Why are we doing the same thing?
I don't know. We're like chicken dancing. Bawk, 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 bawk. Holy crap. Ow. Anyways, how are you today?
I'm tired.
Why are you tired?
My baby woke up at 5:30.
Hello, are you my baby?
I actually had a very, productive Monday, which is very weird because normally my Mondays are, Monday times Monday. And today it was, literally just, at work, and then I looked at my coworker and I was like, oh, shit, you should go for lunch. It's, 1 o'clock. And then I went for lunch, and then by the time I got back it was 2 o'clock, and I was like, fuck, my day's almost over.
I think that's where I'm struggling with my work. We're in a bit of a slow season between October and Christmas is I think I haven't even worked a day in the last 2 weeks.
Mine has also been going through a fucking slump. Just because of, all the staffing issues and everything now. And we just had 2 long appointments in the morning. And they just took up our entire morning. And it was so nice. And I was like...
Don't you love that when there's just one thing that just makes everything just go so fast?
Yeah.
We also have a special guest today.
Yeah. I see Rang Rang is there. Rang Rang.
He's an 8-year-old... purebred border collie. He looks very nervous to be here. He's okay, baby.
He's putting his head down. He's like, don't talk about me that.
He's my firstborn baby boy.
Yeah, you're a good boy.
He's ready for bed.
He's like, no, mom, I'm not. I'm not, though. Willow over here is passed the fuck out.
She died.
She is out cold.
Are you okay? You cannot come up onto my lap. I'm sorry. No kisses. Okay, I gotta do the podcast.
No podcast time. She's like, but kisses? Kisses? He, sorry. Don't look at me like that.
He's such a sucky.
Mmm.
I love him. We should post pictures of them.
We can. 100%.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah. He's attached to me.
He's like, why are you pushing me away, mom? I belong here.
I was gone for 2 days, and out of everybody, my kids, my cats, my dogs, Wrangler and Willow would not leave me alone. They were so excited.
So your dogs.
Yeah. My dogs were my kids were like, mom, and then it was like, okay, goodbye. But Wrangler, every 5 minutes, he would just come back to me.
Aww.
I missed you. I missed you.
Aww.
He's so sweet. You too. You too.
He's yes. Oh, yes, let me come. Okay, now we have a Willow.
Who also Willow is the crazy one.
Stretch.
She is. She jumps on everything.
Or scares the shit out of cats.
That was so funny.
I wish we
Jen's
had
Jen's cat, jumped halfway up the wall today.
Because you scared her, didn't you? Yes, 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 you did.
Okay. Let's go lay down now, guys.
Okay, I know you just got here, but... Willow, went to put her paw up, and then you were like, okay, let's go lay down. She's like... Oh, no. And just brought her paw back down and just gave me the sad puppy dog eyes.
They're such noodle heads. I love
them.
They
are, but they're cute noodle heads. You're a noodle head, aren't you?
Okay.
Willie, we gotta get down.
Willie.
Get down.
Let's go lay down.
Go lay down. Go back to sleep.
She's like, you guys woke me up for fucking nothing.
Lay down.
Will. You guys are doing the podcast and not even including me in
it. Oh, you want to be the other special guest? Hello, Willow. Willow is a 3, almost 4-year-old mixed breed. Her mom, I don't even know. She was a stray dog with not the dad, but he was like this little shih tzu, and they were just strays together running wild. And when they got to the rescue, it ended up that Journey, Willow's mom, was pregnant with 10 puppies. All survived. Crazy. And Willow is the only one that looks exactly like her mom. And the rest all range from, like, skinny and, like, very low body hair. Low? That's not even how you explain it.
Short?
Short. To, like, Willow, who's kind of chunky and fluffy.
Yeah.
The way we like them.
And then her sister looks identical to a border collie, and Willow looks like a shepherd. It's so fucking weird. But we've gone on rambling for 6 minutes.
I know, but I was just going to say one thing when you were like, that's so amazing that she survived her 7 puppies.
10.
Okay. Oh, 10. Sorry. do you remember when Truck was born? So my dog is Jen's old dog's puppy.
He's my grandpup.
And Carmani squished her puppy.
Two of them.
It was just so laid down. She just laid down. She was kind of a fat pup.
Yes. She was. She liked to steal bread.
She resembled a pig.
Okay. When she died, this is so sad. So, well, Luke, he was my boyfriend at the time of, like, 6 months, maybe. And he had let Wrangler and Willow out.
Yeah.
And Wrangler came to the door.
Carmani.
Oh my God, I'm so used to saying Wrangler and Willow. Wrangler and Carmani. It's funny because they kind of look similar too.
Yeah, they do.
And we had a very low fence at the time. So he was like, oh, maybe she just jumped the fence. And I'm like, I don't know. She's a little on the hefty side. I don't think she would jump a fence. Could you just go out into the backyard and check? And at the time, you couldn't do the, audio FaceTime.
Yeah.
Like, where it was just, so it was just the video FaceTime. And when he turned around, he's like, oh, I found Carmani. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, is she okay? And he was like, Carmani, and he's like, Jen, she's dead. And I'm like, oh my God. And I was in town, so like 45 minutes away, so I told my dad, I was like, we gotta go home. We rushed home and we went and seen her, and the first thing I said when I seen her was like, why does she look like a pig? But her face was all like smushed up to a cinder block, and she looked like a pig. I'm like, you poor girl. She was a little bit on the older side, and I don't know, she was just, it was so sad.
Me and Adam's anniversary our anniversary cool. is the anniversary of my cat's death, so.
Oh no.
Yeah,
wait,
also
the day after your birthday.
Because we didn't want it, I didn't want it to be on your birthday because I didn't want to ruin the day for me.
Sorry. I'll just be born on another day.
No, it's okay. We moved our anniversary.
I think actually the same thing. We moved our anniversary because it would have been Matt's birthday.
Oh.
Can't do that.
Anywho, should we get into...
I was literally going to say the same thing.
Should we get into the story?
Yes.
Okay, so today we are going to be talking about Hella Craft. She is the victim in this story. And Jen, I will let you take it in with the first few lines here.
And I'm just going to say sorry right now for these first few lines. So Hella was born... Nielsen?
Her last name is Nielsen.
Oh, right. Oh my goodness.
She was born Hella Lork Nielsen.
Oh, yes, that was her maiden name, was Hella Lork Nielsen, and yeah. She was born in Charlotte, Help me out with this one. I can't remember.
Charlottland.
We'll just say Denmark. In 1947, she worked as a flight attendant, and at a work conference in 1969, she would meet her future husband, Richard Crafts.
The two would date for 6 years before getting married. After they wed, they moved to Newtown, Connecticut. It was a peaceful town, no serious crimes, a few burglaries, a few burglaries here and there, but that was kind of the worst of it. They hadn't had a murder since 1975, and the two started a family, and she would become a mom of three.
She really loved her kids. She was described as a wonderful mother. Everything seemed to be going well. Due to the fact that Richard was a pilot for Pan America Airlines and her a flight attendant, it meant that they were out of town for periods of time and often. So they hired a live-in nanny by the name of Dawn Marie Thomas.
Richard was very active in the community. On his days off from being a pilot, he would work as a part-time officer. He would work as a part-time police officer. He wouldn't go out and fight crime, but he would do little jobs, patrol the streets where he was supposed to call in if he had come across anything. He would direct traffic when there is an accident scene and check on vacant houses or houses that the families would be on vacation.
He loved the job so much. He went out and bought the same vehicle that the officers would use, placed lights on it, and carried weapons that he was not allowed to on the job.
Which is illegal.
All of that.
Yeah.
Well, minus the buying the vehicle part. Like, you can buy whatever vehicle you want, but placing lights on it, as far as I know, here in Canada, you cannot have any other lights other than amber. Is it amber and white?
I do not know. I learned this last night, actually.
I believe, white lights and amber lights.
Okay, cannot place police lights on your vehicle.
Yes, you cannot do that, because that's impersonating a police officer, which is also highly illegal.
Yeah, but you don't do that.
Here in Canada, you actually can't have any colored lights on your vehicle.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So, amber, is that... A blue color?
Yellow. Oh.
Okay, so how come I always see people with blue lights in? And not, like, headlights, but where they're, like, blue, you know?
Like,
you
the
know
headlight is blue?
About? Yeah.
So that could be, like, the LED, which is, like, a white-blue.
So I'm just colorblind.
I swear everybody I talk to is colorblind, because nobody can agree on a color.
No, because I feel like I can see the difference in, like, LED lights when, you know, I'm driving and I'm like, oh, shit, those are fucking blinding. Are those, they're high beams. But then there's some that are just blue. Unless they're just blue to me. That could be a possibility. That
could be. I mean, within... Like, all the new vehicles, they have those ridiculously bright lights.
Yeah. No, I feel like blue that I see is, like, a deeper blue.
Hmm. That's weird. I don't think I've actually seen, like,
a Now deep... I'm gonna be, like, every time I'm driving, I'm like, Jen, look, it's a blue light.
That's interesting. I haven't actually, I haven't seen a blue light like that, but I swear, those new headlights, they're, like, fucking... So bright to anybody you're passing, but when you're actually driving that vehicle, it's like,
it's so nice. Because I have those lights. I am an obnoxious light driver.
I am not.
And you can see so fucking far, and it is so nice, especially when we live where fucking animals come out of nowhere.
True.
And we have fun fact, my headlights turn when you turn the steering wheel, so if I'm turning so a corner, weird. I like... It'll, like, show me around the corner. They're, it's like, super cool.
Eyeballs.
Yeah.
Watching wherever we go.
I know. My dad was like, why are your headlights so little? And I'm like, but they're not when I'm driving. And that's, like, the main factor of driving.
Does his car? Because he got, like, a similar
now car. Now he does. He has those lights, yeah. Okay, but before, when they had the Kia.
We totally, like, our train derailed.
Sorry.
It's okay. I think it was more so me, but. So it was place lights, carry weapons.
Okay, yeah. With, so it's me now.
With, nope, I haven't finished. With the job came authority, which he seemed to enjoy, maybe a little bit too much.
He wanted more and more. He soon would make that authority figure become one at home, too. Even though everything seemed to be going so good for the family, you never really know what's going on behind closed doors.
November 18th, 1986, Hella Crafts arrived at the JFK airport after a long flight to Germany and back. She had a coworker drive her home. Little did anyone know, this would be the last time anyone would see Hella alive again.
That friend claimed to investigators that she was so happy that she was going to be home for Thanksgiving. It was a holiday that she would finally be able to spend some quality time with her family. That night, there was a very bad snowstorm, one that knocked out the town's power.
Sorry, I lost my spot. When Richard woke in the morning and still didn't have any power on at the house, he decided to wake the kids and Dawn, sending them down to his sister's, not far away, but their small town still had power.
Dawn realized that although everyone else was up and ready to go, there was no Hella. Richard told her that she had already left for work that morning. Authorities believed Hella would be dead by this point.
Are you sure? You can pour half or something. Mm. Richard dropped the family off and said that he would pick them up when the electricity came back on. He was going to go to the house and wait for it. Odd, but we'll get into that.
Oh, I'm not ready. Sorry, guys. I'm pouring a drink. He would tell her friends a different story. He told them that she would be gone to Denmark to look after her sick mother. He would eventually tell Dawn and the children the same story.
This doesn't sit well with friends. Her one friend thought back to a sinister comment Hella made to her, though at this time she didn't think much of it.
Hella told this friend, quote, "If something happens to me, don't think it was an accident," unquote. Hella's friends weren't fond of Richard, even when they first met him. He gave off vibes that they really didn't like.
Hella's car would be found in her work parking spot with some of her belongings.
You looked like you were like, aww, so I just thought I'd pass it to you. Okay. Sorry. Passing our vapes to each other.
I might grab that after. Anyway, belongings from her Germany trip still located in the back seat of her car. When the car didn't move after 3 days and her friends hadn't heard from Hella, they started questioning Richard's story. The friend decided to call Hella's mother, who said Hella was not there and she, in fact, was not sick at all.
Can you imagine about, like, lying about that, like being like, oh, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Adam's not here because his dad is really, really sick and he went to go take care of him, and then you call Adam's dad and Adam's dad's like, no, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine, what are you talking about?
In this scenario of Adam's dad, I think it'd be very odd for me to call, but
but, like, that was the only person I had in mind, because he's my only person. Okay, if Luke were to be like, oh, Jen went to go see her mom because she's really sick, and I hadn't heard from you in a few days, which, sometimes isn't odd, but now that we have the podcast, it would be very odd.
Right, because what was that one time you were like...
You hadn't messaged me for like a day.
And like, then when you were coming home from your trip and you hadn't messaged me, I was starting to panic. I like messaged Zoe.
Okay, that was funny though, because I actually hadn't realized that I hadn't switched my phone plan over to my right because I got a new bank card. So I hadn't switched my phone plan because I'm on like a pay-as-you-go plan. I hadn't switched it over to that bank card. So like... I wasn't getting any messages at all unless I was in Wi-Fi, so I got nothing from anybody. And I was, like, texting everyone. Like, literally, I texted Adam's dad, and I was like, hey, we're in Clearwater. And he's like, oh, okay. Are you in Kamloops yet? And I'm like, I saw the message, like, an hour and a half after we got home, and I, like, walked out there. I'm like, yeah, we're home now. And he's like, I got that.
Yeah, I think because my first text was at like 9 o'clock, and then
that was a long ass trip though.
Yeah, oh, probably.
Yeah, it was like 14 hours. God, I'm so happy Adam can drive long ways because I slept a majority of the trip there and back.
I love driving, so I'm the driver.
Yeah, I do love driving. And I used to really, really love driving. Like, I could not be anywhere except for behind the wheel. And then once I got with Adam and he kind of started driving everywhere. And now I just, like, we would always come home late at night, like, after the movies or whatever. So I would always sleep in his car. And then I just got so used to sleeping while Adam is behind the wheel. So now whenever Adam's behind the wheel, I'm like...
In your fucking, like, octopus, whatever
hat. Ostrich pillow.
Ostrich.
Which Zoe... so gracefully got me for my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I fucking love that thing. If I could sleep in vehicles, I would totally get one, but I'm...
It is this big pillow that you, like, fit over top of your head, and then it has a hole for, like, your nose and your eyes, and then two, like, ear holes so that you can, like, put it in if you want to, like, you can put your arms in if you want to, like, lay your head down. It's awesome.
I would be scared to lay my head down, like... Well, not that, like, anybody else could see that, but that would be
not
so...
Not, like, in the car, I wouldn't do that because the airbag is right there and I would break my neck. But, like, if you were... Like, my mom had said, like, she would have loved it for night shift where she just, like, went into the lunchroom or the break room and just took a nap for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
It's me.
Her friends decided that they needed to report her as a missing persons. When authorities found out more about Richard and Hella's relationship, they were concerned. It turned out that Richard had been cheating on Hella many times.
He allegedly had a long affair, over 20 years, with one particular flight attendant. Hella had her suspicions that he was cheating, so she had hired a divorce lawyer, Diane Anderson. Diane advised Hella to hire a PI so that she could get proof of the affair happening.
Keith Mayo was a PI that was hired. He followed Richard around and was able to capture many photos of Richard with another woman. Intimately. When Hella received the picture, she decided that was it, and she tried to serve Richard with the photos.
With the photos. He refused to take them. He would set up meetings that he would bail on multiple times, wouldn't allow the sheriff to serve him the papers. Nothing would get the papers across to Richard.
When Hella disappeared, Keith Mayo, the PI, had a theory that Richard had something to do with it. He just had, like, this feeling. He was like, that guy. Since Richard was part of the local authorities, they turned the case over to the Connecticut State Police on December 26th.
I lost my spot. Hold on.
You can find it.
I found it. Richard took the kids on vacation to Florida, the state police did a search of their home. What they found in there would make them take an even closer look at Richard and suggest him as the prime suspect. They found bloodstains on the bed and sections of the carpet ripped out and missing.
When they ran his credit cards, they found that he had bought new bed sheets and a new comforter, and he even rented a wood chipper. The wood chipper seemed like an odd purchase out of those three. Like, okay, you can go and buy, you know, new bed sheets and stuff. I fucking would do that all the time. But a wood chipper in the middle of a snowstorm? That's pretty fucking odd. The wood chippers... Oh, yeah. It seemed like an odd purchase until authorities got a tip from a snow truck driver who saw a wood chipper running near Lake Zor on November 18th in the middle of the night. Following this tip, they had the snowplow driver lead them to the scene.
When examining the area, they found microscopic traces of human tissue, two teeth, a gold crown, and a fingernail covered in pink nail polish. After examination... There was 2,660 bleach blonde human hairs. With this evidence, they searched the lake and found a chainsaw.
The serial number had been filed off, but with chemicals, they were able to get a read on the serial number. 592-1616. This serial number matched the warranty card that Richard Crafts had submitted. They were able to recover metals, bone fragments, and blue fibers, and the fibers would match Hella's favorite blue nightshirt.
The crown that was found was connected and matched to Hella's dental records. Around the lake, they also found an envelope that was addressed to her as well. They would be able to match the red nail polish as the same nail polish in Hella's home.
With all the evidence, the medical examiner gave a death sentence, which meant that they could go forward with the trial. Unfortunately, though, they were unable to tell if Hella was dead prior to the chipper at this time.
Dr. Lee was called in to run some tests on the wood chipper. He ran dead pig through the chipper. He used a pig because their skin is similar and their bones resemble us as humans. Their skin and bones are similar to us as humans, I should say.
He was able to determine that the cuts made on the pig were the same cut styles on Hella's fragments that were located and tested. And keep in mind that these fragments that they tested on her were, like, fucking tiny, like sand pieces, right? Because they went through a wood chipper. Mm-hmm.
The trial began in May of 1988 in New London. Since this was such a big case, Richard's defense won a change of venue verdict due to the extensive pre-trial publicity. I give up.
I think you said it right the first time.
Did I?
Publicity. The trial ended in July of 1988 with a hung jury. Hung jury means that everyone would need to go through the trial again. The second trial would start in Norwalk.
This trial would come to the agreement on November 21st, 1989, 3 years after Hella's horrific murder, with a guilty verdict. Finally, Richard would be behind bars.
Richard would be sentenced to 50 years behind bars on January 8th, 1990. But of course, like with all stories, he would not spend the amount of time in jail. He was released after 32 years on good behavior and having a prison job, which having a prison job, I guess, in the past, there was able to cut you, like, time on your sentence if you had the prison job. Yeah. Interesting. Because I know still good behavior does. Like, this was fascinating. Adam had told me that, because he works in the system, right? He told me, so for every, at least in Canada, for every 30 days somebody is in jail, they can get 15 days cut off their sentence for good behavior.
Hmm.
Yeah. He would maintain his innocence throughout all the chaos.
What the authorities figured had happened was that fatal night. According to the Forensic Files episode, Hella came home around 7 p.m., ate dinner with the family, and went to tuck the kids into bed so that they could have a good night's sleep.
Hella was fixing up the bed when either a fight broke up or Richard had intentions prior. Anyhow, while she was fixing the bed up all nicely, he grabbed a flashlight and he hit her in the head, which caused her to fall. And then he hit her for a second time. She fell onto the ground. And she was at least unconscious. He wrapped her in bed covers and carried her to the garage and placed her in the freezer. This would explain why he had purchased the bed sheets.
He went back up to their bedroom to clean all the blood. When that job was done, he woke the kids and the nanny and sent them away to his sister's house. This would give him the opportunity to get rid of her body, so he rented the wood chipper and brought a chainsaw.
He also rented a U-Haul, which was tracked by his credit cards when they obviously looked into them, and he transported everything that he needed. This all seemed like a great plan, but what he wasn't expecting on this blizzarding night was an innocent snow plow truck driver to catch this odd act.
The snowplow truck driver knew this was odd because
that is hard to say.
It is. Because it was 3:30 in the morning. With Hella's body being frozen, he was able to dismember her and throw her through the wood chipper without lots of evidence being everywhere. Her body being frozen would mean little to no blood splatter. And that's the end of it.
And I was just going to say, and that's it for you guys. So that is a horrific story of Hella Crafts.
That's terrible.
And yeah. Like, there is a lot of things that you can do to get rid of a body. And, like, I have listened to so much true crime, watched so much true crime, everything, read about it, like, everything. Fiction and fact. Not once have I ever come across a wood chipper being involved.
I think that's probably one of the most brutal ways to get rid of a body.
Yeah. And you know what? In the most sinister way, I'm going to say this. He had the smarts to do it, but he got caught.
Yeah.
Like, if that snow truck driver had not seen him, I don't think he would have gotten caught.
Yeah.
I think they would have suspected him.
But no evidence.
Yeah.
No, nothing to go on.
Yeah. And, like, when I was watching the forensic files, they, like, went through his house and, like, in the bedroom, like, how they figured out how he did everything, because he never came forward. There was, like, blood splatter, like, when they did the UV light or whatever. There is blood splatter, like, everywhere, and then they can determine from where the blood splatter is what kind of happened, and, yeah.
Yeah.
There is, like, a big chunk on the side of the bed, and, like, all up against the walls, and it's...
I just don't get why people turn to murder if you...
Just get a fucking divorce.
Right?
Okay, I say that. But when Adam was going through his divorce, like... So, they went through the process. He did not murder anybody. He did not try and murder anybody. But I'm just, like, going through the process of at least what Canada has to go to. But he went through, so you have to pay, like, almost a $300 just to get, like, the file for the divorce going. And then what ended up happening, they paid for everything. They got everything sent off. And then it turned out his ex-wife had gotten the wrong wedding certificate from the courts, because apparently there's three to choose from. So when they filed for divorce,
I wonder what one
she had the wrong one. So then they had to go and repurchase the correct one. And then after you file it, there is a judge that gets to decide if you can have a divorce or not.
Yeah, and there's, like, a lot of things, like, you guys can't be sleeping in the same bed for a certain amount of time. Like, you can live in the same house, but you...
have to be separated for a year.
Yeah. Yes, it was a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Adam couldn't get a divorce until after at least a year of separation. And then there's a few things that also, like, went on, so...
Well, and there's things like, have you done counseling? Have you guys tried to work it out? Was there any sort of affairs? Like, what's the cause?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should... Like, I understand because so many people get divorced and then remarried. But, like, if I want to get a divorce...
You should be allowed to just be like, I want to
I shouldn't have to file for it and then be, like, denied my divorce.
Yeah. It's a little fucked up.
But, I mean, there are people like this who could at least try and go through the process where he was like, nope, nope, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I think doing it.
I think in that, like... just because the one person is saying no, that should not make the other person suffer. Like, if you file for a divorce, that person should not be able to deny the person serving you.
Yeah. Where he, like, hit it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in no sense do I think that it should lead to murder.
No.
No. Just separate. No. Just, like...
goodbye.
Or, you know what? Even just fucking leave and don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in that case, like, if you left, because it would either be you leave with your kids and you could get filed for, oh, wait. So if you are a married couple and one person from the marriage leaves without saying a word with the kids, can that other spouse still call in as kidnapping?
Yes.
Okay.
Technically, if they were to leave without, like, giving you a location or, like, if you leave and be like, say, like, hey, like, for an example, like, they didn't have cell phones back then, but texting me like, hey, I left you, this is how it's gonna go, you can see the kids these days, blah blah, mm-hmm. blah blah blah, then there would be no evidence of kidnapping. But if you just, like, completely left with no trace of where you went, then they could be like, well, they kidnapped my children, because they do try and make it like a 50-50.
Okay,
parenting.
I know I've read,
I don't know, like, about in Denmark, but
yeah, I know I've read stories where it's like there's couples that are together, one person of that couple takes the kids, doesn't say anything, and then the other one files for, like, a kidnapping charge. But they're like, oh, you guys are married, you guys share the kids, therefore we cannot process,
I think it,
it
really
as
depends
a kidnapping.
On the situation. Like, if you look around BC and Alberta mostly, like, there's a lot of kidnappings, but then it turns out to be, like, the spouse had taken. But it really depends on if you have separated and, or, like, not legally separated, but, like, moved out of houses, and then there's, like, different types of court orders where, say, because it's mostly the dad can't see their children.
Yeah.
And then
which
the mother.
Which is very sad.
Yes. In a lot of cases, yes.
Yes.
And then the mom takes off and the dad tries to file, like, oh, she kidnapped my kids. They'd be like, no, you don't have custody of your kids.
But what if the couple was together and not separated at all?
It's so hard to say. Like, we'd have to really look into that.
Yeah. That's, yeah, because I know I've read, I can't remember, like, names of cases, but I know that I've read a lot of cases where it's, like, something that's, like, behind the scenes is very a toxic marriage or whatever, but they're legally still together. They are not separated. One spouse leaves with the kids, and then the other one tries to, you know, say it's kidnapping, and
it's so
they're
hard
like,
because,
oh, no, that sucks.
Yeah, and it's so hard because, like, Canada and the U.S. could be completely different.
Yeah.
So it really depends on where you're from, I guess, but those are some questions we should get into. We should just go through, like, divorces and kidnappings and...
And then Luke's just gonna see on your internet files just how to get a divorce. What does it mean if I take the kids if I get a divorce? And all of this. Can I kidnap my kids if I'm not separated? And he's gonna be like, Jennifer. And you're gonna be like, yeah.
It's just research.
It's just research for the podcast, I swear.
Oh, he'd probably be like, He'd just shake his head. But I usually tell him, like, all these things that we're looking at. So I don't think he'd be too shocked, hopefully.
That's fair. Hopefully not. But you never know. Well, dun, 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 anyways. Dun, dun,
dun. Thanks for watching the Dark Light podcast.
Watching.
Oh, we're not watching yet.
Nope. Maybe someday, shit. But not now. Because I am too fucking shy.
I am too fluffy. That's why I'm camera shy.
Follow us on Instagram at dark.klight.podcast_.
That's Instagram?
Yeah.
And on Twitter at darklightpod1.
You can email us at darklightpodcast@hotmail.com with any episode requests, stories of yours that you want to be on a potential upcoming sequel called Crowd Chronicles.
We'll see you next week. And remember to
keep your lights on.